Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As you're able to, please stand for those of you who are not standing. And we will sing our first hymn together, number 568, if you're following along in the hymnal, Christ for the World We Sing. Let us now affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you're following in the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. A big praise. I got a text yesterday, and Timber has made it past the 2-pound mark, so that is a wonderful praise. And Ty sent me some video of her both in the incubator as well as with her mother holding her, and she's opening her eyes. And she has no more infection. They finally got rid of it. And she's starting to look like a baby. I don't know if you've ever seen very premature babies, but they look like they might be a baby, but you're not quite sure. So now all of her proportions are getting back. She still has a hole in her heart, but they're hoping that will fix itself in time. If not, they will do surgery, but they think she's okay. And she's still on a respirator. So keep her in your prayers, and of course, keep Ty and Jeannie in your prayers, especially Ty. He stopped by the other day, and we talked for a little bit, and he's trying to be the strong one, and the problem with trying to be the strong one is that you don't have a chance to be weak, so I told him he can always be weak in front of me if he needs to. So he cried a little bit, and he thanked everybody for their prayers. So that's wonderful news. And then the only prayer request I have, I was reading the other day, there's a virus that's going around China, actually, and it's a new version of a known strain. And there's about 1,000-plus people who currently have it in this province in China. And so they've quarantined that province and everything. About 60 people, I think I read, have died from it. It has spread worldwide, but the news makes it sound like it's this epidemic, but it's like two people in the United States have been confirmed and one in France and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not a worldwide epidemic, but it is certainly something to be concerned about for those in that province in China especially. So, and I don't know how much y'all know about the Chinese government, but they have a history sometimes of going to extremes to contain such things. So let's pray that they would be more wise than practical, I guess is the best way to say that. And pray that our brothers and sisters over there not only will be safe, but will be able to be Christ for those who do not know him. Other than that, I have no anything. So, but Miss Georgia has one. Do you know what his name is?
Nash.
Nash, okay. And that actually reminded me, Larry has, what, are all three of them sick at this point, your grandkids, Larry?
The two oldest ones are over it, and the youngest one is getting there, and we're praying that the fourth one don't come down with it.
Yeah, so three of the four have had it or currently have it. And then Terry, your granddaughter, has the flu too? Is that, okay. So we definitely want to pray for that and for those who have the flu and those who are working with them. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, thank you that we can come together in fellowship and in worship. And Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the good news about Timber, that she has passed the 2-pound mark, that she has no more infection, and that she is able to be held by her parents, and that though she's on the ventilator still some, she's also able to be off it for a little bit as well. We pray for her continued growth and healing. We also pray for Ty and Jeannie as they deal with the loss of one child and also with the worry and concern for their other newborn. Lord, we also want to keep Pat and Carla in our prayers, that you would help them with their health issues. We also pray for Nash, that you would heal him and restore him, that they would be able to find out where he got what it is that he's fighting, and that they would be able to treat it effectively. We also pray for Larry's grandchildren. We pray for the one that still has it, that they would feel better, and for the one that hasn't gotten it yet, that they would not get it. We also pray for Ann and Charles, that they would not only not get it, but that they would not go crazy trying to take care of a lot of sick children. Lord, we We also want to pray for Terry's granddaughter, that you would help her to feel better. And for all of those who have sickness, whatever it may be, we pray that you would be with them, that you would provide comfort, strength, and healing, and that they would be able to feel better quickly. Father, as we go forth in our worship service, may we hear your voice. May we respond in a positive way. And also, whatever the sirens are going for, we pray that you would be with all of those who are affected by that. May you keep everyone safe and in your care. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, if our children would like to come forward, we will have children's time. Good morning, y'all. All right, now I know Liliana does, but Liam, do you have any pets at home?
Yeah.
What do you have at home?
A dog.
A dog? That's good. I have two dogs. Most of y'all have met one of my dogs. And then we got a cat too, right, Lily?
Meow.
Yep.
Meow.
Some people wonder if our animals are going to be in heaven with us. They don't know. Some people say they won't be there, and some people say they will, and you know, there's a big discussion and all this. But you know, I think that Scripture teaches that animals will be in heaven. And the reason is because when God created everything, the Hebrew word ruach, which is spirit or breath or wind, God gave that to not only human beings, but to animals. And that word is also translated as soul. And God looked at his creation and he saw it was good, even before he made human beings. And when God renews everything, he'll make a new heaven and a new earth. Lily, come here, please. Come on.
What is that toy laying on the ground?
Come here.
It's a
come here.
It's a gun. So you call him
good. Here, sit with me. All right, now, as I was saying, God gave animals the breath of life, just like he gave human beings. And that same word can be translated as soul. And when God recreates everything, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So there have to be animals if you're going to have a new earth, right? I think that God loves his creation, including all of our pets. I think he knows how much they mean to us. I think he knows how much we mean to them. And I think that there's nothing wrong with believing our pets will be with us in heaven. And you know, one of my favorite beliefs, it's not a Christian belief, but I think we can adopt it. Some of the early Germanic tribes had a belief that when you get to the gates of heaven, that your favorite pet will greet you at the gates. So whichever pet you had the best relationship with will greet you at the gate. And I like that imagery. And I think that that is as good an image of heaven as there is. So when you go home today and you play with your dog and...
I'm not playing with my dog. I'm playing on my video game.
Oh, you're going to play on your video game.
Don't ask what I'm playing.
Okay, I won't ask what you're playing.
If you want to, you can.
No, I don't want to. You tell me not to.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, what are you playing? Oh, yeah, Call of Duty. Are you any good at it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I like Call of Duty. You don't play it?
Yeah. Playing on my dad's Xbox, playing Fortnite. A dude jumped up and I killed him.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, before Liliana has a heart attack over here, let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for our pets and for all that they mean to us. And Lord, we thank you for children. We thank you for the children who are here, the ones who are represented by those who are here, and for all children everywhere. We ask, Lord, that you would bless all children and that you would help us to have childlike faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can head on to Children's Church. Okay. Don't hurt yourself. If we could have our ushers come forth, at this time we'll worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing as we sing our next hymn, number 710, if you're following along in the hymnal, Faith of Our Fathers.
We hear the glorious word.
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'll have a musical selection from, is it just you, Clayton, or is it the choir? Or? All of them. All right. The choir will be singing a musical selection for us. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Clayton. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Paul writes, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one else can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. See, here we got two kids fighting. They don't look very happy with each other. Who knows what they're fighting over, right? They could be fighting over lots of different things. You never know. Sometimes kids fight over the weirdest things. Sometimes kids fight over things you understand. My brother-in-law, the only fight he ever got into in school was because some kid tried to steal his Star Crunch out of his lunchbox. So he beat him up. Hey, you know, little Debbies are good, you know. I can understand that. You don't want somebody stealing your dessert, right? But fighting oftentimes can be avoided. And in fact, most of the time, whenever a fight breaks out, it's because somebody was being selfish. Martin Luther King Jr., we just celebrated his birthday not that long ago. He said that, I can't remember the exact quote, so I'm going to paraphrase. He said that the riot is the language of those who feel they have not been heard. He argued that the reason that people riot, and they've done lots of studies on rioting and all, but the reason that people become riotous is because they've tried everything else they can think of and nobody's listening, so they resort to violence. The reason that we have wars a lot of times, when you look at why it happened, is because nobody wanted to be wrong, right? People didn't want to compromise. Guess what? The church isn't immune to this. I didn't try to count. I'm sure somebody has. But there are a few denominations out there. Right? I mean, there are a few denominations out there. Not even including those that call themselves non-denominational. Why did denominations come about? Well, of course, the first split in the church, if you will, happened between what we now call the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. And basically, what they ultimately split over was that every time a church council got together, the church in the global West said, "Well, this is what we think." And the church in the global East said, "Well, I don't know about that. Let's discuss it." And they said, "Well, we have the Pope, so we're going to do it this way." And eventually, the Eastern church said, "Well, fine, if that's the way it's going to be, if our opinion doesn't matter, then we split." That was the first church split, if you will. Then, of course, we have the Protestant Reformation, right? We know about the Protestant Reformation. Again, people didn't want to compromise. Martin Luther was naive. He thought, when he translated Romans, he thought, well, the Pope and the bishops and all, they must not know about this salvation by grace through faith, right? And when he brought it before him, what happened? The Pope said, well, I'm trying to build this cathedral over here and I need lots of money, and Martin Luther's telling people that they don't have to buy indulgences, and if they don't have to buy indulgences, then how are we going to get money to build this cathedral? So Martin Luther's a heretic, let's get rid of him. And that's kind of how the Protestant Reformation came about. And then within Protestantism, we started to kind of fracture and everything. And it, you know, it was, we have, for instance, the Methodist heritage is from Anglicanism. Well, if you don't know where the Anglican Church came from, it's really simple. Henry VIII wanted a divorce. The Pope said no. He said, fine, I'll just make my own church and I'll be the Pope. And he did. And many denominations came about because of things that John Wesley calls things that are incidental to the faith. Wesley says there are things that we must affirm to be Christians, and that's what the creeds are for. But then there are things that we can discuss and talk about. And actually, the reason Methodism became a separate denomination is because when the American Revolution came, Methodists were just Anglicans. They were just, it was just an Anglican small group, basically. But when the American Revolution came, guess what? Oh, you're Anglican, huh? That means that you're loyal to the Archbishop of Canterbury, huh? He's in England, right? He works for the king, doesn't he? That means you're traitors, right? No, that we're not traitors, no. We're Methodists. And so Methodism as a denomination rather than a small group was born. The church has human beings in it, therefore the church has conflict, and conflict comes from selfishness. What Paul, though, is addressing in his letter to the Corinthians is a special kind of selfishness. It's the selfishness of being special. Paul hears from some people that he trusts in the church of Corinth. I don't know if they were letting Paul know because it was a problem or if they were gossiping to Paul. Paul doesn't really indicate exactly how he came about it. He just says that these people told him. But nevertheless, they brought before him, they said, listen, there's big division in the church in Corinth. You got people who are saying that they were baptized by you and Peter and Apollos and Jesus and whoever else, and they're all separating into their little cliques, and they don't want to do anything. And so Paul writes to them, and he says, hey, I've heard about this. Was Jesus divided? Remember back in the Gospels, and Paul is probably alluding to this saying of Jesus, when Jesus was accused of casting out demons in the name of Satan, Jesus says, that's ridiculous. A house divided against itself will collapse. Why would I cast out demons by the power of demons? That doesn't make any sense, right? It would be like a bank lending itself money and then paying itself back. I mean, how does that work, right? Eventually the bank's gonna go out of business because you can't make interest on yourself, right? That's not how it works. And so Paul says, was Jesus divided? No, Jesus isn't divided, but you guys are divided and you're concerned. You're saying, the Apollos group over here doesn't want to have anything to do with the Peter group because, well, they were baptized by Peter, we were baptized by Apollos, and vice versa. And then those groups don't want anything to do with the Paul group, and those people don't want to have anything to do with the true church baptized by Jesus, right? I'm sure the people who said we were baptized by Christ were very, you know, we're baptized by Jesus, you know, like that was, you know, made them better or something. And Paul says, so what's happened here is you got a bunch of squabbling, a bunch of people fighting for their piece of the pie. But Christ can feed everyone. In Bible study, we're still in the Gospel of Mark, and we just went through the feeding of the 4,000. We did the feeding of the 5,000, excuse me. And then we went to the feeding of the 4,000. And of course, Jesus does this miraculous thing. He feeds all these people with a very insignificant amount of food. And right after the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus tells the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And what do the disciples say? Jesus is worried we're going to go hungry. We didn't bring enough bread with us. And Jesus says, really, guys? In the last couple of days, I just fed at the minimum 9,000 people off of just a little bit of bread and some fish. And you're worried about food? But see, that's what is going on in the church in Corinth. We're all worried about which one of us is special. And we've forgotten that there are people dying. That there are people hurting. That there are people still enslaved to their sins. Rockwood and Chevron are my third appointment. And all of these appointments have been smaller churches. And all of them except for the very first one was at least a 2-point charge. And so at least one church within the charges, I would usually hear something that goes like this. Boy, I don't know what the church down the street's doing to get all of those people. I wish we could do it though. I wish we could get those people. I don't know what the church down the street's doing to get all those people either. I don't know what they're doing. Because I know that they can do something and we can do something, and one can have growth and one can not. I don't know what they're doing, but praise God they're doing it. Because we're not in competition with the church down the street. Yes, we're United Methodist, but we're Christians. Yes, John Wesley is our founder, but Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. When pastors get together at things like annual conference and such, inevitably you're going to find a group who's going to brag. Yeah, boy, we saved 100 people last year. You know how many kids at our vacation Bible schools said they were going to follow Jesus? 200, we had a huge one. How many people did we save? We lost count. I can tell you how many people I've saved. That many. Zero. I haven't saved a single person. Because I'm not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They didn't crucify me. They didn't nail me to a cross naked and mock me and spit on me and beat me and give me a crown of thorns. I didn't save anybody, and I never will save anybody. Brothers and sisters, I don't know why it's hard to get people to come to church. I don't know why it's hard to get people to come to church. I don't know why you can invite people and they always find an excuse. Even people that love you dearly. I don't know why. I don't know why some people come to church and their spouses won't come. Or their children won't come. I don't know why. But I know this. We need to stop worrying about filling the church. We need to start being the church. It's a new year. I've started to get to know the people here. I've started to see what's going on in the area. Been making contacts and things like that. We've been doing Bible study. I've been thinking and I've been praying. And I've been discussing with various people things that we're going to do. We're going to bring Vacation Bible School back because we need to have Vacation Bible School. And if you would like to volunteer for it, there will be more information about that when it comes. I want to start doing youth again. I know we don't really have any. Maybe that's because we don't have anything for them to do. We can try, right? If you want to help with that. We give office space to Helen Ross McNabb Sexual Assault Center. And it's growing. She has another new client tomorrow. AA is growing. The Girl Scouts are using our building. I know we don't see them in here. I know that. I know we don't see them in here. But understand this. One person comes to AA instead of drinking themselves to death or getting in a car under the influence and driving and killing a family, it's worth letting them use our facility. If one person is healed from trauma that they've dealt with for far too long, it's worth letting them use our facility. Growth will come. I absolutely, positively believe that. People have come to me and told me that people have come to them in the town and said, "Oh, I hear you guys are closing your doors." I got news for you. When it's just me and Clayton standing in here looking pretty, we'll still be here. Clayton will always look prettier than me, but we all know that, so. We will grow, we will, but let's stop worrying about filling the church. Let's be the church. Do the work of the church. Follow Jesus. Quit worrying what the Baptist Church is doing. Quit worrying what Kingston United Methodist Church is doing. Quit worrying what General Conference is going to do in May. Quit worrying about whether the Catholics worship Mary. Instead, pray to God and say, God, what can I do to be the church? Where can I help? And God will reveal that to you. Now I'm going to do something that seems odd to us. But it always seems to work when people do it. One day of the week, I think I'm going to make it be Friday. I'm going to dedicate it as a day of fasting and prayer. But I'm going to fast the biblical way. That's where you don't eat until the sun goes down. If you want to join me in that, by all means. If you can't because of health reasons, that's understandable too. That's fine. But I'm going to start it. I'm going to fast and pray for our church, for the area. And I'm going to trust the Lord. God isn't finished with us. In fact, I believe He's just now getting started. And I hope you will believe that with me. Let us be the church and let Christ worry about who's going to get saved. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, forgive us for when we let our fears and our worries and our selfishness and all of our sinful nature get in the way of your work. Show us, Lord, how we can help those in our community and those around the world as well as we follow Christ. May we never give up. For no matter how dark it gets, you are the light of the world, and darkness can never consume light. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, number 367, if you're following in the hymnal, He Touched Me.
Eternity rose. He touched me.
And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be reminded that you are the church, that the Spirit of God resides in you, and that the gates of hell will never prevail. For if God is for us, who can be with us? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
Shown your love in how they live and where they move. Oh, mindful world of caring men, accept our gratitude again.